Welcome, dear listener, to another episode of True Hauntings and Scary Stories, the podcast where we alternate between spooky conversation and scary short stories. Now, here's your host, Miss Cynthia.
Welcome to True Hauntings and Scary Stories. Today, we're going to talk military spooks. So I have a guest with me. His name is Todd, and he has the podcast Coffee with Jesus, which is like one of those really uplifting podcasts to kind of give hope to the world. And so I'm very happy to have you with me today, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We're about to talk spooks, so I'm super happy. That is my jam, after all. So tell us about your show.
So Coffee with Jesus is a Christian podcast. And I started it because really in the very beginning of the pandemic, people just needed hope. You know, there was just so much going on that just caused so much stress and anxiety. And I just felt the need to try to reach out and comfort as many people as I could. It started with a video I had posted. I have a Facebook page. It's also called Coffee with Jesus. And that's how I named the podcast. I released a video. It was only a few minutes long. And the response was overwhelming. And that's when I realized there was just this tremendous hunger for comfort out there. So I started the podcast in response to that hunger to try to comfort as many people as I can.
Nice. Very nice. That's definitely a good reason to do it. Love it. Today, though, we're going the other direction. We're talking spooks. So my question to you is, the question that I ask pretty much everybody that I have on the show is, was your story a one-time deal, or did you have some little ghostly experiences in the past, or did you grow up in a haunted house like myself? How did it start for you?
So I'm going to be honest. I grew up a skeptic. I'm an engineer and a scientist. So I've always been kind of skeptical of the, you know, the paranormal and the spookiness.
Sure.
Until I had my own experience, and then suddenly I wasn't a skeptic anymore.
That does tend to change things. Nice. All right. So tell us what happened to you. What changed your mind?
So I deployed to Afghanistan with the Army in 2012.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. And while I was there, one of my goals was to get into shape physically. And we had a lot of good gyms on the base, a lot of good workout equipment. And I've always been kind of scrawny, kind of small. So I really wanted to just get fit and toned. So I worked real hard, you know, an hour or two every day I would go to the gym. And of course, you know, being a man in the Army, I would take pictures of my progress, you know, so I could see, look, I'm not so scrawny anymore.
As we all do.
Well, on this one particular day, I was, you know, posing and flexing and taking pictures. And I noticed something under my bed that really caught me off guard. And I saw it in the camera as I took the picture, and I kind of turned. I don't know. You can see my head half turned in the picture, I think, because it just kind of really freaked me out. And it looked like there was a soldier in his body armor kind of hunkered over in the room under the bed. And that really freaked me out. And I turned around and there was nothing there. But I checked the picture on my phone, and sure enough, there was definitely someone there. You can see him. You can see like the body in the body armor there under the bed in the picture. But there was no person there when I turned around.
Wow. Yeah, that'll convert you. Yeah. And you showed me that picture, and I can vouch for you. There does appear to be something under that bed.
Yeah. And yeah. If you want to share that picture, you're welcome to. I cut off the top part so nobody will see me flexing. But you can still see the body under the bed.
Yeah.
And I found out later on, because I at first I just was like, okay, I'm just gonna, never mind, just life goes on. But then I don't know, it just bugged me. So I started asking around, and sure enough, a year or two before, and I don't know if I can give the name or not, because all that, you know, privacy and stuff.
Yeah.
But sure enough, a year or two before, the soldier that had occupied that particular housing unit, he was killed in a mortar attack. And
wow.
Yeah. So apparently I saw a pic, or I captured a picture of the soldier hunkering down during the mortar attack.
Hmm.
But like I said, when I turned around, there was no one there.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, of course you're not there now in the barracks or whatever, but that sounds like a residual haunt to me and not an intelligent haunt, because supposedly there are two different kinds. Intelligent interacts with you and seems to have intelligence and all that stuff. Residual is kind of like a fingerprint of an energy that was once there. So it just kind of replays. It sounds like he was hunkering down because of what happened to him, and that's probably just that energy repeating itself. So I bet you're not the only one that's seen it, if that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I would not be surprised. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody else who's in that room, but
yeah,
that's what turned this engineer scientist into a believer.
Nice. I love it. I always tell people you have to experience it. It's one of those things where you need to see it to believe it or hear it to believe it. I don't know. But then maybe not, because my husband, believe it or not, my own husband of 23 and a half years does not believe in the paranormal at all, at all.
Oh, wow.
And a few things have even happened to him in this house that we're currently living in, and he still won't say it's paranormal. He's a computer programmer. So again, very logical, you know. And he's like, why, Cindy, why do you just jump to the paranormal every time? Why is it always got to be paranormal? I'm like, honey, you heard our son call my name, literally heard it loudly, but he didn't call me. Like, where else do you go with that? You know, I don't know. He's a goof, but I even tried to trick him once. I booked a haunted inn, and I booked the most haunted room in the haunted inn. And I wanted him to get haunted. Instead, I got haunted all night. Like, really?
Yeah.
Is this what we're doing now?
I always try to find an explanation if I can, and sometimes I can't. I had an electric chainsaw one time, and I bought the electric one because it was on a pole, and I had to trim some branches of trees. Mm-hmm. This is when I lived in Florida. It was hurricane country, you know, so we always had to trim branches of trees. I heard a noise coming from my garage one night, and the chainsaw was running.
Huh.
And, you know, I just turned it on and off. I flipped the switch. I hit the button. I tried to do everything to get it going and stopping it, and nothing would work. It just wouldn't turn off. Finally, I just pulled the battery out and it stopped. And I thought, okay, well, there's got to be a short.
Hmm.
So I took it apart and I looked at everything. I could not find anything wrong with it.
Hmm.
But then when I put it back together and I put the battery back in, it was just running all by itself. So I took the battery out. I took it apart. I threw it at the curb.
Oh my gosh. That's creepy, but you're right. I mean, there could be some kind of electrical reason, I guess.
Yeah. And my engineering brain is going to think, okay, there's got to be a reason for this. There's got to be like an electrical short or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I tried. Now, I'm not an electrical engineer, so I might've missed it. But yeah, I took it apart and looked at it. I couldn't see anything wrong with it. So I just was like, I'm good. I just put it at the curb and let the trash take it.
The ghost was trying to tell you that your trees needed trimming. So it was like, we're just going to turn this on until you go trim your trees. That's funny. I'm from Florida too. And I know all about hurricanes. We just moved to Ohio in 2012. Until then, I was born and raised in St. Augustine, Florida.
Okay. I was just a little bit down the coast. I was down in Melbourne.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Nice. All right. Fellow Florida person. I love it. So I found on the intranet, I found some interesting military ghost stories. Militaryspouse.com. And they tell the top 10 haunted military bases. But the number one one I'd never heard of before, but apparently it's like wicked haunted. And it is in Japan. It says Kadena Air Base, Okinawa, Japan. Yep. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Okinawa. I've been there before.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Did something happen?
No, not while I was there, but before I was in the Army, I was actually in the Navy.
Oh.
So I went to the Navy.
I didn't
Navy
know
right
you could
college.
Do both.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that right out of college and I did 3 years and I had left. And then I went back in on active duty for another 3.5 years and left. And at that point, I was like, I was done. Because my second time in, my CO made Captain Bly look like Mother Teresa.
Oh,
so I was just done with the military. Yeah. But I had a contractor when I worked where I was working next, and he was very persistent. And eventually I decided, okay, well, I'll join the National Guard. And then 6 months after I was in the National Guard, they said, hey, Todd, guess where you're going?
Yeah.
We've got a special vacation for you.
Nice.
And then I found myself in the Army in the middle of Afghanistan. So,
wow. That's rough. So then maybe you can elaborate on some. Did you hear any ghost stories while you were there? Or
I did not hear any.
So Kadena Air Base, Okinawa, Japan. I bet it was pretty, though. Is it pretty there?
It is.
Yeah.
You can see clear through to the bottom of the water pretty far out. I mean, the water is just crystal clear. It's
oh,
amazing.
Wow. Now, I have a fear of drowning, so that would freak me out. I don't know what it is. Drowning and heights. Those are my phobias. Other people have completely irrational phobias. My phobias are actual things that can kill you. So at least there's that. Okay. So it says Japan frequently tops the most haunted lists in horror film and literature. And the notoriety is warranted. Tales of terror stretch back in Japan, in Japanese literature, to the Heian period. I don't know, 794 through...
Heian, I believe, yeah.
Heian? Okay. Yeah. 794 through 1185 are the years. In a time so ancient that stories were inked onto scrolls. So, and they named the scrolls of the Hungry Ghosts.
Oh, wow.
Right? How creepy is that? All right. Unsurprisingly, Kadena Air Base and the surrounding military community have reported all manner of terrifying activity. Ghosts have approached one installation gate so many times that the activity has been captured in multiple videos. Wow. How do you explain that away?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if they prohibit people from talking about the ghost stories just to try and keep it under control.
Yeah.
Weird. Building 2283. Were you in that one?
I don't think I was in that particular building.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, then you're lucky. Because apparently that one is wicked haunted. Building 2283 on Kadena was once a tranquil single-family base housing unit built next to a daycare center until an alleged family murder took place in the house. The USO used to hold... What's a USO?
The USO is an organization that sends entertainment to troops overseas.
Oh, okay. Okay. The USO used to hold ghost tours here until curtains parted by themselves and a landline phone long disconnected rang in the house in front of terrified tour groups. Now, if you're doing ghost tours and then a ghostly thing actually happens, why would you then cancel the ghost tour? I feel like that's when you ramp it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, isn't that what you were looking for?
Well, and I think that's why a lot of people are skeptical, because a lot of these ghost tours aren't actual ghost tours. It's just, you know, you're just paying to try to be frightened for a little bit, but then something actually happens. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So before the building was demolished in 2009, the next door daycare teachers complained that their students kept throwing their toys over the fence. When questioned, the children replied, the little kids on the other side asked us to.
Wow.
Kids are creepy anyway.
Yeah.
I know, because I have three of them. So yeah, kids say creepy things. One time, my son is 21 now, my oldest, but when he was four, just turned four, he told me one day, Mom, does God wake you up in the morning? And at the time we were Christian, going to church and stuff. So I told him the age appropriate, like, well, sort of, like he does allow you to wake up in the morning or whatever. I don't remember exactly what I told him. And he said, yeah, but does he like wake you up? And I said, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, does he tickle your feet in the morning? And he's four. And I was like, no, he doesn't do that. So I just kind of smoothed it over and dropped the subject. And thankfully, he never brought it up again. But yeah, that was interesting.
So I only have one occurrence that's kind of like that.
Nice.
We were living in Mississippi at the time. And my daughter was 7 or 8 years old. And my grandmother had recently passed away. And I didn't find out about this until several weeks later. That's a whole other story in and of itself. But so it was several weeks later when I found out. And then a few weeks later, my daughter woke up in the middle of the night. And she said, Grandma was calling her. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, Grandma was calling me. I'm like, hon, Grandma's not here. And, but she, I mean, she swore up and down that her grandma was calling her. Or my grandmother, really, her great-grandma. But she always just called her grandma.
Aww.
And she grandma was calling me. She woke me up. And I don't know. She swore up and down that you know, her grandma was calling her.
Now, I believe that. I don't know. Everybody is questionable, like, of kids saying things like that. But I feel like if a little kid tells you that kind of stuff, believe it. Mm-hmm. I think it's legit. They don't have that adult lying tendency, I think, about those things. And they don't really know that those things are odd yet, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How old was she when that happened?
She was about 7 or 8. I don't remember exactly her age, but it was when we were in Mississippi. So
I bet you that was real. I bet her grandma was coming to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Aww.
And she was my grandma's little darling. I mean, she just, yeah, my grandma always just doted on her.
That's so cute. Yeah. I don't know. My grandpa passed in 2012, right before we moved to Ohio. And, I was very, very close to both of them. And he's come to me in my dreams a couple times and warned me about things that did end up happening. So, yeah, I think that happens. Loved ones can reach out to you, mm-hmm. I think, you know, in my experience.
Yeah. So do you consider dreams to be kind of this of a spooky thing as well? If something, like when you get warnings in your dreams?
Do I think it's spooky? It's creepy. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, my grandpa, I was super close to, and I dreamed that I was in his house, and I looked over and he was there, and I ran up and hugged him, because even in the dream, I knew he was already gone. I knew he was passed in the dream. And when I ran up and hugged him, Grandpa, what are you doing here? And I hugged him. He was cold, like an ice cube cold.
Oh, wow.
And I jumped back from him and said, oh, you're so cold. And he never smiled or frowned or said anything. He was just there. He was just standing there. And then he just turned and walked out of the room outside, out the back door. And I followed him because in my head, I was like, this is weird. What's happening? So I followed him. And when I got onto the porch, he was gone. But my mom was standing in the middle of the driveway, just the same as he had been. No expression, really, just kind of standing there. And I walked up to her and I said, what are you doing here? What's going on? And she didn't even react to me. She just stood there. And then I turned back to face the house and my grandpa was standing there again. But this time he had a clipboard in his hand and he was writing with a pencil, the number 74 over and over on top of itself, you know, like 74, 74, 74 over and over. And then all of a sudden I woke up and I thought, okay, well, that has to mean something. That's a really weird thing to dream. So I got nervous and I started counting like 74 hours from now, 74 days from now, 74 weeks, 74 months. Like I was trying to figure out what was going on. Yeah. 74 days exactly to the day after I had that dream, my mom's mom, my granny, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer on that day. And she passed away a year later.
Wow.
So that's weird. And then another time I dreamed of my grandpa and he was showing me my husband and he was showing my husband was getting like squished, but It almost resembled like a car accident if you got squished in a car, but there was no car around him. He was just getting squished and he was struggling. And he kept showing me that. And in the dream, I was asking, is my husband going to be okay? Like, is he okay? And he wasn't answering me. He kept like appearing over here and then going away and appearing over here and going away. My grandpa, like he didn't want to tell me. And then like, I want to say maybe 6 months to a year after I had that dream, my husband started having strokes because the right side of his brain, the veins in his brain just started closing. They started narrowing and closing for no reason. And he's had 5 strokes at this point and he's only 43.
Oh, wow.
He's about to be 44. So, and that started when he was 39. So definitely shouldn't be having strokes at 39 years old. And they never figured out why. He's had 5 strokes and they still don't know why it ever happened.
Wow.
So I feel like at the time that I had the dream, I had no idea what that meant. But then when the stroke started happening, I thought, wait, you know, he was getting squished and narrowing. I don't know. Maybe it's connected. I don't know. But those are the only 2 dreams that I've had that were like really legit. Something was weird about them.
So I've had 2. One of them was more religious, but another one was kind of like what you were describing.
Mm-hmm.
We were living in Florida and my son had met this girl in Scouts and she was kind of troubled, kind of homeless. She had nowhere to go and she was getting kicked out of the place that she was currently living. So my wife and I decided to bring her into her home and try to help her out, you know, get her through her senior year of high school and get her launched.
Mm-hmm.
And about a month after she arrived, I had a dream and it was her, that girl and my family, my kids and my wife and I. We were just in some city inside some building and there was a weather alert going on and we ran out of the building and there was about 3 or 4 tornadoes heading toward us. And so we went into the plaza in front of the building and it was kind of, you know, you went kind of down some steps and there was like the marble concrete on the sides. So we went down to that little depression to kind of take cover and these tornadoes kind of jumped over us and then kept going.
Wow.
And that really just stuck out of my head, even to this day, like the details of that dream just really stick out of my head. And I was wondering, because normally when I have dreams, I wake up and I kind of forget them, but this one just stayed with me. Mm-hmm. So I looked at what do tornadoes mean in dreams? And tornadoes, when you have a dream about a tornado, it's usually a sign of some impending disaster.
Oh, wow.
And about a month or two after that, there was an incident where the girl that was living with us, she worked for Cracker Barrel and she was working till about 11 o'clock at night and we had gotten her a bicycle so she could ride it back and forth, but it was really late. So I went to pick her up. We threw the bicycle in the trunk and drove home. Well, about a half an hour after we got back home, a police officer knocked on our door. Apparently her coworker saw my license plate and called the police. Now she was an adult at the time. She was 19.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the police were called, but once the police saw that she was an adult, he was like, okay, whatever, you know, y'all have a good night, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
But just banging on my door. And the cop was real good about it. Cause I'll be honest. I heard the banging on my door. The first thing I thought was, oh my God, somebody's trying to break in. So I grabbed my gun and went downstairs.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I kind of tried to hide it behind my back. But when the cop asked me for ID, I said, it's in my wallet upstairs. You mind if I go get it? And he was like, yeah, go ahead. So I went upstairs and of course I left the gun up there when I got my wallet. Well, when I came back down, the cop's like, so what kind of gun was that?
Oh, no.
And I said, it's a Colt Commander. He's like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
that's crazy.
Yeah. And the girl actually left soon after that. She went into a home where she could get the help that she really needed. But I realized later on that we really did dodge a bullet with that. Like, if she had stayed, there probably would have been some disaster that happened worse than that.
Wow.
And, you know, just like the tornadoes jumped over us, you know, mm-hmm. we basically dodged the disaster.
Yeah.
And so sometimes dreams can be worth telling,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, your brain is busy while you're sleeping still, you know, so I'm sure that, and I do believe, I'm not going to say I'm a medium or anything like that, but I certainly am sensitive to energies around me. I can't deny that because I've just been surrounded by it my whole life and had so many things happen to me. So I do believe that people have the ability to tap into stuff like that. So yeah, I'm sure that dreams can be that way.
Yeah.
I did have one more thing. So we talked about the house of murder next to the daycare and the little kids. You know what? The ghost kids just wanted to share the toys. They just wanted the living kids to share their toys. So I think that's good.
Yeah, I've noticed that kids seem to be, I don't know if this is exactly the right word, but more attuned to that kind of thing.
I think so.
You know,
they don't have all those things that us adults tend to teach into them, like, oh, that's not real. That doesn't happen. This, you know, they don't have all those parameters in their head already. So they're more open, I think. Yeah, I would agree with that. My middle son is 18 now. He's autistic. And I've always wondered if, because of his disability, if he has some kind of greater connection. I don't think so, because he's never had anything happen that would indicate that. But
right.
Who knows? You know, he's high functioning, so he would tell me if something creepy happened. And you know,
yeah. Well, and I think that's a mark. My daughter, she's also a high function, and she's autistic.
Oh, okay.
And for a long time, like, she just could not lie. I was like, she was almost incapable of it. Mm-hmm. You know. And so I think that right there lends credence to, you know, when she told me about her grandma, you know, calling her name, I'm like, okay, well, she's not making this up. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't do that kind of thing.
Yeah. So. I've always said that that's kind of a nice feature of autism. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
My 18-year-old, he is honest as the day is long, and he is blunt. He will tell you exactly what he thinks about whatever. And yeah, I think it's refreshing.
Yeah.
So this website, they talk about the family next to the daycare. It doesn't say what happened. It just says family murder. So I guess somebody snapped or something very sad and tragic. And then it says the hair-raising terror continues in the Kadena Hospital caves. Hospital caves? I mean, of course. That is not going to go well. Like, whose idea was that?
So a lot of the Japanese military facilities were in caves in World War II, especially on Okinawa. And that's why it was so hard. And that's why the U.S. did this island hopping strategy, because they couldn't take every island. It was just too manpower intensive, because they had all these caves and networks, and it took forever to get them cleared out.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess it seems logical, because caves would be difficult, you know, to deal with, to infiltrate, I guess, or even to spot, maybe. So I don't know. It says Kadena Hospital Caves on the Banyan Tree Golf Course. I don't know. The caves were once a former bomb shelter and hospital where 350 medical staff and 222 nursing students from Japanese military units were assigned in World War II, like you said. When U.S. forces came ashore, the caves were evacuated. They have that.
In quotes?
Yeah. Some evacuated by ingesting potassium cyanide pills.
Oh, wow.
Others jumped to their death from nearby Maida Point. Mm. Wow. No wonder. And then it says, to this day, off the cliffs of Cape Maida, I hope I'm saying that right, scuba divers report seeing ghosts underwater. That's a worst case scenario to me.
a lot of Japanese soldiers did jump off the cliffs there rather than surrender, because that was their mentality. Surrendering was shameful. You know, it was better to commit suicide than to surrender or be captured.
Right. That's really sad and tragic. Can you imagine being scuba diving, like just scuba diving fun?
I would never go scuba diving again.
Me neither.
Just seeing that picture freaked me out. I can't imagine if I encountered a live ghost while I was underwater. Underwater is a little scary to begin with anyway, because you got all that weight on top of you and it's dark.
And you're vulnerable, you know, you're vulnerable. Yeah. Something messes up, you can't breathe water, you know?
Exactly.
Hard pass for me.
I love being on the water, not so much under the water.
Yeah. I just prefer to avoid it. All right. Well, Todd, thank you so much for being with us. Tell us again how people can find you if they want to contact you, or how they can find your show. Tell us all your info.
Sure. So I have a Facebook page that's called Coffee with Jesus, and it's for both a book and a podcast. So I think the page is technically listed under book. But yeah, just search Coffee with Jesus podcast on Google and you'll see it. I'm looking at starting a website for my podcast, coffeewithjesus.info. It's not up yet. Hopefully a few weeks after this is released. So anybody listening down the line can go to coffeewithjesus.info. But until then, you can just go to Facebook and, you know, either listen from there or send me a message through there.
Nice. All right. Cool beans. Well, thank you for being with us and talking with us. And again, thank you sincerely for your service, because people like you are braver than I can comprehend. So I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. It's been a pleasure. I love talking spooky things. So, and for all the rest of you folks listening, I'll spook you later.